News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Boy, not a lot of dry eyes in the house. Young Bianca Andreescu, who nearly half the age of Serena. Think of that one, right? 37-year-old Serena Williams, who later comments on she's only 19 about her aplomb and her dignity. And by the way, if you've seen any of the interviews with Bianca, she's got a real mouth on her. Like, she's very funny. She's very impetuous. She's all over the map. In the clip, she leans down and says, "I watched you your whole career. You're," and then leans over and whispers, "ah, effing," and says the word beast. So she said, "What'd you say to it?" "Well, I just said she was a beast," and she's, da da da. But she leans over and she actually whispers the full word, and that makes Serena start smiling. And then Andreescu, who of course has been renowned for her injuries, and that doesn't augur well either. At the age of 19, when you've had as many injuries as she's had, I don't think you're going to see her at 37 playing. But then she said, "Well, I had this and I had this," and she's talking about knowing the injuries. And it was just really sweet. So Bianca Andreescu becomes the first Canadian in 50 years to win the Rogers Cup, which is our Canadian Open. And she would rather, of course, as any competitor would have, had the match and been able to beat Serena, but it is what it is. But I just laughed because I kept hearing this clip about the effing beast. And then when you play it, you can hear clearly, "I've watched you your whole career," and then you see her lean in, and that's when she says it, then you hear the word beast. But she lowers so the microphone doesn't get it completely. Ah, boy, what a wonderful... Again, it's one of those weekends where you look at this and think, this is just all good. Anything on your mind today? 1-877-332-8255. Okay, we've got Regina Road Renewal. We've got... Zipper Merge in Saskatoon. The Zipper Merge is a fully Gormley Show-approved traffic maneuver. You will remember years ago, was it Colorado or Minnesota we went to? Can't remember. They sent me a bunch of swag after because they were so pleased we had them on the show. I want to say it's Minnesota. This was years ago when we were trying to din into the heads of the traffic engineers in both Saskatoon and Regina who nearly have it, except they feel they have to keep... This is an authorized zipper merge. No. Every time you congest traffic, set it up that people will zipper merge. And the rule is pretty simple with the zipper merge. Everybody stay in their lane. You get to the choke point, and then you merge one for one for one. If you've got three lanes going down to one, two lanes, you take turns like the teeth of a zipper, merging at the merge point. Dave, you're watching the zipper merge. What's up, sir?
The one in Ring Road in Regina especially, the signage is beautiful. The one thing they're missing is putting up those skinny orange pylons to keep the lanes separated until the choke point. Put them up for 100, 200 meters before that, then you're forced to stay in your lane till the choke point. What I'm seeing all the time is people in the left lane stopping, holding everybody up, waiting for somebody to let them in the right lane. They're like 100 meters away from the choke point. And it stops the right lane because they got to stop to let this guy in.
Yeah, it's a good point. We call those the reluctant zipper mergers. They're in the lane. They go, "I'm by myself in the... Oh, this can't be. Now I'll pull over." No, good for you. You're actually zipper merging. Go right up to the choke point, then put your signal light on, and you shouldn't have to stop, but you will. For two or three cars, because people are not going to let you in. "You're butting in," they'll say. But then usually about the third, fourth person lets you in. So, yeah, if you're in that open lane, go right up to the end. Now, the thing about pylons dividing the two lanes, conceptually great idea, Dave, but part of the whole thing is to keep traffic moving. And can you imagine the road crews that would have to go out and put those pylons out? Like, that adds to the whole signage and performance. But it might be that way, maybe just to get people thinking. Mike in Regina, this is where anything goes in the hour of the big stories. What's up, Mike?
I'm just curious how long the city of Regina is going to make this road renewal project last, because it's kind of becoming a bit of a joke.
How so?
Initially, they tore out our sidewalks in the northwest July 2nd. Here we are, middle of August. The project still isn't done. They haven't been doing anything. I have neighbors who can't get into their driveways for, like I say, 6-7 weeks, can't get mail delivery due to this, and the city really, nobody wants to deal with it.
So is there, if just help me out. So if that's where you're at in the time horizon, you know, construction usually goes till about first, second week of October. Have they been given a final date when this is going to be wrapped up?
I was told by someone in City Hall when I filed a complaint that technically by their policies, you can't have an exposed sidewalk for more than 10 days. Our sidewalks were exposed for a month with just a deep trench. And it's ASL that's doing the project. And there's a project on the next street over that's over 2.5 months old and still isn't completed. And, you know, you try to talk to ASL, well, that's just ridiculous to talk to them because they just won't admit anything. And they just keep creating new projects and not finishing old projects, and the city's allowing them to do it.
The city, though, supervises and has benchmarks where, you know, reports have to be in. So surely, you know, the engineering people at City Hall should have something, or at least they should report to the mayor and city council something.
I've had the city councilman out probably 4 weeks ago to assess the situation. He said he'd get back to me. Never heard from him again. You phone into City Hall, they have that 48-hour rule to get back to you. It can take a week to 10 days before they get back to you. So it's someone's in way over their head. They've taken off too much, and they can't complete their projects. And meanwhile, the taxpayers and my neighbors and I, we're the ones to suffer.
1-877-332-8255. Absolutely anything and everything goes here. Let's go to the texts now, the CJMECKOM text line, 306-306. Thomas in Regina. I disagree with your caller, Alan, on his assertion the Conservatives are almost too late to stop the Liberal machine. Of decided voters, nothing is going to change their minds. Of the undecideds, many don't have the attention span yet to remember 10 weeks back from Election Day. The campaign will be completely different in the days just before the vote. Thomas in Regina. Chad, until the writ is dropped and the federal election is actually called, I'm convinced JT, Justin Trudeau, will extend his term as long as he can because the fixed election dates are a Harper idea and Stephen Harper will not tell him what to do, Chad. Well, interesting, I would agree with that sentiment, but the election must be on or before the 21st of October. So the parties themselves have said they believe it's October 21st. So the length of the writ, Chad, might be an issue because there's a minimum writ period and a maximum. But the fact that there's going to be an election on that date, I think, is pretty well now beyond any contention or debate. You name it, we talk about it here and now. 1-877-332-8255. Darcy in Saskatoon, thoughts on global warming, Darcy?
When is it going to arrive, John? Global warming, I'm waiting. This week in Saskatoon, 3 to 4, maybe even 5 degrees below normal. June and July this summer have either been normal or slightly below normal with a few hot days thrown in there. May, warm and dry. February of this year.
Coldest ever.
Coldest ever. When is global warming going to kick in? Charlie Clark, please give us the answer.
Well put. Darcy, you're so unscientific. Now, don't you know the rules? I'm being facetious. When we struggled through one of the coldest winters ever, you were told two things. First of all, it's not climate, it's simply weather. Secondly, climate change can make things colder. So it's actually climate change because it's not global warming. But that's how they dispensed glibly and quickly with winter. I waited to count the number of days after June 30th because June was, in much of the world, not here so much, but June was one of the hottest Junes ever. I think it took about 6 days. I could check my notes. I might have been closer to 4 or 7, but it was about 6 days. An academic wrote a paper that this past June and this July are proof positive of climate change because they're so hot. Look, This is worse than the shell game. You remember the old thing, the walnut shell, where, you know, they're moving stuff? Whatever they want, they will publish. And again, when you know the climate people, you know the modus operandi, you know what it is. And you shrug, like a lot of us do. 1-877-332-8255. Absolutely anything goes here. So how did the zipper merge work on the way to the Garth Brooks concert? Sheila says work in progress. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'm John Gormley. Let's get you on the radio now. 1-877-332-8255. Sheila, we are always talking zipper merge here in summer. What was it like the other night at the Garth Brooks concert?
I have never seen such stupidity. We came in off the number one on the Louvain, and we got up to where Saskatchewan Drive exits on to the Louvain. And you got one lane there of people lining up to go to the concert, and then there's another lane there where they want to just come off Saskatchewan Drive and go onto the Louvain and head on their merry way. But what do we have in front of us? A bunch of people going to the Garth Brooks concert, actually blocking that. They are merging right at that point.
Yep, because they couldn't go all the way up to the end.
So we went around and went up to, like you call it, the choke point. But I need to tell you that I did call out your name a couple times.
What, in the hope that they had their angry Gormley Lesnar t-shirts on or what? Okay, go on.
No, that was just it. I was just like, somebody needs to teach these people how to zipper merge. They held up the line for, but like I say, once you got past and got up to the front and just put your signal light on, there was no problem at all. But these people were actually blocking the people that were trying to just get past the traffic, the traffic and get on their way without going to the Garth Brooks concert.
Yeah, oh, it's amazing, isn't it? People will actually swing out sometimes and block that lane. Which is an infraction under the Traffic Safety Act. That is obstructing traffic. So if a police officer was by, regardless of the officer's own ideological inclination on the zipper merge, that officer should summarily light that vehicle up, pull them over, hand them a $180 ticket and say, okay, don't be that person. Sandra in Chamberlain says, here's a new challenge. How about we try to educate people how to use passing lanes? We have brand new north and southbound passing lanes on Highway 2 north of Moose Jaw. Those of us who use the highway regularly have stories of those who don't know how to use it. Pull over, people. Maintain your speed. If somebody wants to pass you, they can, and it's none of your business. Funny you say that. Highway 10 has got a lot of them. Highway 7 now, the Calgary Highway. Highway 2, I was up in my hometown area, northwestern Saskatchewan, way to Jackfish Lake, has a couple of really nice ones now. But the same thing. Traffic's going, and Buddy, right in front of me, passes everybody, and then he says, my work here's done, then he hangs in the left lane. Like, it's not apparent to you that maybe someone behind you who is speeding would continue past and pass you. And whether or not they get ticketed for speeding later is between them and the constabulary. But no, you're in the big white half ton and you blew past everybody and then you just sit there in the left lane. And you're thinking like, and of course the guy's got about four friends and they've all got their ball caps on and they're having their heads are swiveling and they're having a great chat about something. And this guy, the lineup behind him in the passing lane was probably half a dozen cars. And he went past half a dozen, but then he was quite okay. And I'm not sure it was even a willful act as much as it's just, you just don't think about it. But you see, if you were conditioned, let me get left lane bandits into this. If you were conditioned when you drive, regardless of your speed, to always go back into the right lane, you wouldn't have that problem. It's when you decide what the left lane speed is that you get problems. And we've told the joke before, you just have to drive in Europe once. And they've got freeways that are only four lanes like we do, on our double highways, but they've got about five times the traffic. And if you're out in that left lane and you're not burning past, going past somebody, all of a sudden people flash their lights, they get their grill right up under your bumper, and they send you the message really fast. Even though you're going quickly, you should be over in the right lane. And then when you come up against somebody slow, you shoulder check signal, get out in the left lane, blast past, and go back right. And that's the way they drive. Here, we don't have enough traffic. So you can kind of get into that leisurely, yeah, I'm just... Well, the other day in the passing lane, there were six cars behind you, buddy. And just didn't think about it. I feel better. It's almost like a session of Bugs Day, the Hour of Rage. There's some stuff I had to get off my chest. But it was a fabulous weekend. Okay, coming up, this is weird. You know this Jonathan Jessica Yaniff, the waxing of the trans woman? We found a Regina woman, an esthetician, who had a call from Jessica or Jonathan Yaniff. She'll tell you her story next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. John Gormley, good to have you here, and thanks for checking in wherever we have found you. A number of us who have watched with growing concern in recent years over the emergence of the human rights culture, and in particular, state-run human rights commissions and tribunals, Saskatchewan became a notable exception. This is a province where there's now much more a greater inclination to mediate, to divert cases away, but every so often... a case like the one of Jessica Yaniff comes up, and arguably the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission would hear such a case. Now, whether they would take it to a tribunal hearing or something else, I just think they're too sensible. But the culture and the grievance collecting that underpins certain human rights activists is really the case of Jessica Yaniff. It's a tricky one. Jessica Yaniff is a trans woman, which means... she's a dude, anatomically, but she self-declares her gender to be female. She used to be Jonathan Yaniff, and Jonathan Yaniff, mainly on Twitter, was very active, defending the trans community, outing all sorts of people, you know, who would persecute trans people. And then Jessica tweeted for a time, Jonathan tweeted as Jessica, then Jonathan Yaniff, the account became Jessica Yaniff, and now... is Jonathan, with female appearance, is a pre-operative transgender, so has the full male hardware. And Jessica Yaniff became famous because she would contact aesthetics providers in the Lower Mainland, around Vancouver, asking if they would perform a Brazilian wax. And this is where you remove all of the hair in the pubic area. Then she would say, I am a trans woman, preoperative, so I want to make it clear that you would have to wax my male genitals. Virtually all of these women said, whoa, I don't do that. I do female genitalia. 16 of these people were subject of human rights complaints by the self-same Jessica Yaniff. The past few weeks, the tribunal hearings have been going on in Vancouver, and they have not gone well for Ms. Yaniff. But we discovered a Saskatchewan woman who had an encounter with Jessica Yaniff. Mandy Chalice is a Regina-based esthetician, set up her Facebook page and had originally posted her location on the page erroneously as BC. So she was in BC at the time, so when you looked at where the page originated, it was in BC. She had received a message from Jessica Yaniff asking if she could get a wax. I said, sure, absolutely. She asked if we did Brazilians. And she said, I'm a trans male to female, would you be okay with that? And then the discussion went on. Now, Mandy was quite open to the whole issue of trans waxing. At which point Jessica seemed to lose interest because there wasn't a person here objecting who she could then pursue. But Mandy provided us with some of the direct messages, some screen caps, and oh my goodness, this is bizarre stuff. We find Mandy in Regina this morning. Hey, thanks for taking our call and appearing on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Boy, when did you have this communication with Jonathan Jessica?
This was March 2018.
Okay, so just over a year ago.
Yeah.
So obviously this person sought you out because you were a Facebook page offering aesthetics and you appeared to be from BC.
Yes, she did. I had one of my posts had gone to Vancouver, and that was the waxing post. And my nail post, for some reason, went to Regina.
But you're in Regina.
Yes.
Okay, so the communication you have with her, how does, as it's going on, she asks about waxing services, Brazilians, the trans issue. What was your response throughout this?
My very first response was, sure, when would you like to book and what do you want waxed? And then that's when she went off to be leg and Brazilian. And I've had messaged so many places and they've been awful and rude. And then she came on to say, I'm pre-op trans woman. I said, I'm sorry you've had such an awful experience. I don't have the best setup for waxing, but I can accommodate you. And then she went on to complain about, I have screenshot after screenshot of many conversations. So it went totally away from her getting waxed altogether to showing me all these conversations she's had.
Well, you know, and one of them that you shared with us, you know, Jessica, yeah, it's mainly the East Indians that do not want to do it. Like 90% of my complaints are against them. They're going to have to learn a hard lesson with human rights in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, and I just told her my response to that was, I'm really sorry this has happened to you. I'm sorry I can't help. And then I said, I'll message my cousin, who is also in a similar position and is in Vancouver, and maybe she can recommend a place for you, which I did and which my cousin did, and she still didn't have really any interest in it. She wanted to keep talking about the influx of immigrants that are denying her waxing.
Yeah, and here's the next one. Yep, I guess it's just how BC is turning out to be with the influx of immigrants here who think they can do what they want.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes.
So did you have a point in all of these transactions through these direct messages where your spidey sense began to kind of kick in?
Yeah, it probably kicked in with the first set of screenshots. And at this point, I'm really trying to appease her, because I did not want to become one of them. So I was going along with her and, you know, being empathetic towards her and apologizing on behalf of estheticians everywhere. And, yeah, she ended up adding me to Facebook, and I kept her on there for months because I was scared that she would bring what I was trying to build as a company down.
Mandy Chalice is with us. Now, this is kind of weird, though, because there's the screenshot of her in the tiara, which has now become the infamous shot. Mm-hmm. But then it says Jonathan waxing. So at some points, is this Jonathan? At some points, Jessica?
This was Jonathan to me.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I had never known her as Jessica. But as soon as I saw the last name and as soon as I saw the face, I knew it was her. So I went looking for my messages and everything, and sure enough, it's the same tiara picture and everything.
So I get the feeling this kind of, even though you're in Regina, this is a little too close for comfort?
It was. I honestly got really, really paranoid. I lost total interest in doing aesthetics work. I closed down my accounts. I ended up blocking her after I felt it was a safe time. She wouldn't even notice. Yeah, I just totally lost interest in it afterwards. Not saying that's all due to her, but it really made me paranoid.
I don't blame you. And of course, there has been, quote, settlements involving Yanef, and nobody's saying whether she got money, you know, from the first couple of people she shook down. But, you know, at least one of the women of the 16 closed her business. And almost to a person, these were new Canadians. These were immigrant women waxing from their homes.
Yeah, and she seemed to really be targeting them to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious, as an esthetician, you should have the ability to determine, I assume, exactly what set of genitals you want to touch when you're waxing?
We have the right to say who and where and when we will do what we are going to do to.
Yeah.
Unless we're in a salon that has set rules, but you're working from the privacy of your home, you have to be careful who you're bringing in. And not saying that C is a danger, but imagine coming to Canada where you come from a strict country and having somebody want this from you. It's going to be confusing and, you know, a little weird.
Mandy Chalice is with us, Regina-based esthetician, who encountered Jonathan slash Jessica Yanef a year ago March in a series of direct messages. Now, I got the feeling looking at this, and you didn't even send me all of them, but boy, you sent a big pile of them. This would be a fair tax on your time, wouldn't it be? How long did this person keep you going?
Well, I can't remember exactly, but it was a long time. Like, I even think the next day I was still getting messages.
So just has somebody reading her messages, so just can't stop.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, and then she went on to try help me build my business at the end of the messages.
Oh, my, I wonder what kind of advice you would take from her or him.
Yeah. Yeah, she told me she is trained in, I can't remember what she said, I'm looking for the message, but she's trained in building businesses or something.
Yeah, probably like the same training that had her talking to preteen girls about a band that he, Jonathan, was managing and trying to meet. Yeah, okay.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, no, this story goes real deep, and it's it gets more odd by the telling. Mandy, thank you for taking the time. Mandy Chalice Aesthetics. You still do aesthetics?
I still do. I have taken my page down, but maybe I'll just put it back up.
Yeah, make sure you brand Saskatchewan all over it to keep away from these lower mainland weirdos.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, John.
You take care. Mandy Chalice. And a couple of people on Facebook, Mandy told her story recently. And somebody said, have you brought this to the attention of the Human Rights Tribunal? It would be great to let them know that you were being bullied as well as your time being wasted. Yanef is just looking for money by working the system and the manipulative behavior to get it. Originally, and this is what was so peculiar, Jessica Yanef was the name in which the Human Rights Tribunal complaints were brought and got a sealing order banning publication of her name. And it was only in other situations where a Jessica Yanef was getting people kicked off Twitter and making Facebook complaints about all these people who were not calling her by the proper pronoun and were being transphobic, that some lawyers on the West Coast said, I think this is the same person. And they got the tribunal to remove the anonymity order, and that's when the House of Cards began to collapse. Jonathan Yanef was posting and behaving abominably. And then Jessica Yanef, sometimes at the same time as Jonathan and before and after Jonathan, was behaving just as abominably and openly racist. I mean, here was this direct message to our listener, Mandy. Yeah, it's mainly the East Indians that do not want to do it. In other words, wax her penis and testicles. Just think about that one for a minute. Like 90% of the complaints are against them. They're going to have to learn, and here's the keeper line, a hard lesson with human rights in Canada. Yep. You people have come to a crazy country. Thoughts, conversation. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm John Gormley. 306-306, I asked for your comments on Mandy Chalice's encounter. She's a small home-based esthetician business owner. Had originally had her Facebook page set up when she was in BC, so hadn't changed it for Saskatchewan, and had this encounter with Jonathan Yaniff, who then later became Jessica, but Jonathan had himself in a tiara, that famous now Jessica picture, going back and forth on would she do Brazilian waxing. She said, yep. And then she got really sympathetic because he said, I guess it's a he at that point. He said, you know, I'm pre-op trans, and all of these other places won't touch me. And then Mandy kind of goes, oh, gee, that's too bad. You know, I'll do whatever I can to help. And you know, and then, well, can I book an appointment? Sure, but I don't have an optimal setup, but I can do it for you. And then once she does that, Jonathan, Jessica isn't really that interested anymore. And then just gobbles up time with all these direct messages going on and on. And again, there's some of them terrible. It's just how BC is turning out with the influx of immigrants who think they can do what they want. It's mainly East Indians. 90% of my complaints are against them. They're going to have to learn a hard lesson with human rights in Canada. Wow. Welcome to Canada. Here is a welcoming, diverse, inclusive country that you have to encounter that? So here's what Adele says. Jessica is unfortunately a terrible advocate for trans rights. She will be useful in helping define laws that protect all citizens. And here's the keeper line. The trans movement hit like a cyclone. And things like this, as well as trans athletics, trans people in the prison system, were not carefully considered. I hope this is the opportunity to move forward with appropriate delicacy. And that's a great point, because the tsunami, or what did she call it? A cyclone, that was the trans rights movement was so fast. You know, Gord Wyatt in Saskatchewan, you don't need an M or an F on your birth certificate, you can have an X. Oh, really? So population studies? When I want to go back as an epidemiologist and look at numbers of babies born female, babies born male, you can retrospectively go back and change your sex. Think that one through, Mr. Justice Minister. So Saskatchewan, you know, real fast there. Human Rights Tribunal here, Human Rights Commission. Oh, trans rights. Everybody leapt on it. Then all of a sudden, college athletics. And that is yet to reap the whirlwind. If you start to look at certain outcomes in women's wrestling and certain other sports involving women, the U.S., as Canada, has accepted simply self-declared trans status. So it's now, you can't create synthetically more testosterone, but they've also had academics say, oh, well, testosterone has no difference at all. Have you watched some of the female wrestling going on in the States at the intercollegiate and the collegiate level? I'm sorry. Muscle mass, strength, a lot of these things. But again, we're relying on science. Okay, take that one to its logical end. Are you relying on the science that says there are 33 to 36 genders? That's not scientific. Are you saying it's gender, not genitalia? These are all slogans of the trans community. And to an extent, as Adele says, this has to be handled with delicacy to ensure people are protected, the trans community, but not used as a sword. You know, lawyers talk about the sword and shield. This is supposed to be a shield. When it's used as a sword, a broadsword like Jonathan Jessica Yaniff, this is an outrage. Arnold in Regina. So Regina esthetician Mandy gets hit up by Jonathan Yaniff. What did you think?
Well, I just thought, how typical this is, and it just tells you the way we're moving, where, you know, everything's just getting too stupid, John. How could somebody like this crush a fledgling business? You know, it's just, we've gone way too far. It's got to be pulled back. There's something wrong with this person. There's just something inherently wrong with him, and for some person to take a court case against these people, it's just, it's not right.
It's a good point. And again, other than the National Post and the Sun papers, the Toronto Star and the CBC, it's been crickets. because they are the forward action and they're the rear guard on all things trans rights. They don't know how to handle Jessica Yaniv, so they're just not talking about her. Stand by, more of your calls ahead on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.